Good to see everybody this afternoon, I guess evening. It's a privilege to get to see those we haven't got to see in a while. Nice to have Billy McDonald with us, and our sympathies certainly go out to her family. We've been thinking about Bob's family this last week. Good to see George here. It's been months since George has been able to come after his broken hip, and so it thrills us to get to see him here. It gets good to see everybody here. It's good to see Ryan feeling good enough to get out and about, and all of you who are here today. We were talking about encouragement this morning, and I want to continue on with that. And of course, that which stimulated my thought on that was this last week, with so much work being done around the building and extra work, and there really was. You couldn't come in this last week or two, just about day or night, and not find somebody here that was working and getting things prepared for this. And it looks beautiful. It's amazing how bright and clean everything looks. It's going to look even better when we get our doors back up and some of the other things we still need to do. And if you can help with that, please do. We don't want to leave all that to our deacons, who have already put a lot of work in on that. But again, we're appreciative. And I want to say again, it's encouraging. I want to start with a passage that we started with this morning. It's found in the 133rd Psalm. It's a song of ascents of David. And he simply says this: "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes, as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." It was a great thing when Aaron was anointed as the priest of God, and it was done by pouring oil upon his head. This anointing was done a number of times throughout history. We see the kings, or some of the kings, having the anointing. Saul did, David did. But it's just a sign of approval, and it's a sign of God's blessing as well. And when brothers dwell together in unity, when everybody really is working towards a common cause without strife or petty differences, it's good and pleasant, and it's encouraging. And this last week has been particularly encouraging, and this is an encouraging congregation, so that's saying something on that. Next passage we want to look at this evening, the one we want to start with tonight, is found in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. And I'd like you to note how God encourages. When you think about encouragement, it literally is an instilling of courage. And this is something that God does with Joshua. Moses is now gone, and Joshua is going to be the leader. He's going to be taking on a group of people who can be trying at times. And the task that they have to go into the land of Canaan and take it over and to render the punishment that has been waiting for them now for over 400 years is going to be a tremendous undertaking. And it's going to require a lot of courage by Joshua. He's going in to face the same people that when they had come some 40 years earlier, that they were afraid to go in and face. And so now Joshua is the leader, not Moses. And this is what God says to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous," he says the second time. "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, from the right or left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous," the third time. And then he says, "Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go." One of the things that really stands out to me in this, besides this encouragement to him to be strong and courageous, is the idea that you need to have my word, God was telling him, before you all the time. And he said, this is what's going to make you successful. This is what's going to make you prosperous. If you want encouragement in your life, just enjoy a little success or prosperity from time to time. You know how it is when things are going well, and they're going well from a good standpoint. There's something that's going right, you're receiving some kind of a benefit, and there's nothing evil about it. It's satisfying. It's encouraging. And God tells Joshua, and he tells us as well, that if we will keep his word before us, if we won't turn from to the left or to the right, but we just stay firmly in that word, if we make sure that we think about it and meditate on it and then do everything that's written in his word, we're going to be prosperous and successful. People will take huge courses of studies that may take them anywhere from 4 to 8 to 12 years to learn how to be prosperous and successful in this physical world. People will do all sorts of things when it comes to investments that they think will make them prosperous and successful. Some people will marry other people because they think that's their ticket to prosperity and to success. Other people will make all sorts of compromises in their life, selling their soul, as it were, to the devil, with the idea that somehow this compromise can make them prosperous and successful, but it cannot. It is staying in the Word of God and obeying every part of that Word. And in order to do that, you and I are going to have courage. A big part of encouragement is that instilling with courage. I think it's one of the most important things that we parents can do for our children. It was certainly one of the most important things that my parents did for me. Now, not all of it stuck, but they tried. And we tried. And I'm sure not all of it stuck. But this idea of having courage to serve God in God's way, and this principle that it's going to lead to success, is one of the most important principles that we have. And I want to say again, that's encouraging, because we're going to do well. And that's what people want to do in this life. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the writer talks about something else that's very important for us to do well. And notice this phrase about losing heart, because the latter part of Joshua, God changed it from being strong and courageous to don't be discouraged. And discouragement literally is a losing of heart. And in Hebrews, the writer through inspiration tells us how we can avoid losing heart. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, chapter 11 is filled with men and women of faith who should do nothing more than encourage us that we really can be faithful. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Have you ever thought about that? Because Jesus was so looking forward to our salvation, because it was so important for you to be with Jesus for all eternity, he went to the cross, this says, with joy. That should tell us something about how much God in Christ loved us. And he goes on to say this, enduring the cross, scorning its shame, and he who sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. One of the most important things for us in this struggle of life to get to heaven is to not lose heart. That's why encouragement is so important. That's why we go to the Scriptures so often, because it is imperative for you and I to get our encouragement from the Word of God. there are too many people who will give you a false sense of encouragement, a false sense that you're doing right if you'll just go along with the popular opinion. When we were kids, it was peer pressure. As we get older, they call it political correctness. It's still the same peer pressure. And people think that they have the path to success and the path to righteousness, but only God has that. But if you and I will stay on that, if we'll not grow weary and lose heart, if we'll be encouraged by what God has done for us, then we're going to be very successful for our Lord and Savior. And we're going to take hold of that which Christ joyfully gave His life for us to take hold of, eternal life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day." We had about, I think I counted between 35 and 40 people that were here yesterday. And other than those that were under the age of 20, probably most of us woke up today and we were sore because we had used muscles that we don't typically use. I have found that I wake up just about every day sore. I go to bed every night sore. The body wears out after a while. But this says don't lose heart, though inwardly or outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed. It's like being on a long trip. And you think about, maybe you're going on a 2,000-mile trip, and maybe you're at about mile marker 1,700, and you're tired, and you're thinking of the 1,700 miles that have passed, you're going to lose heart. But if you think about what lies ahead of you, it's going to renew you. God wants us not to just slog through life. And yet so often we do. We live a subpar life because we get tired and we lose sight of what we've been called for. We haven't been called to be prosperous here on earth, although God provides us with prosperity and plenty of it, and we enjoy it in this nation. God calls us to be faithful to Him so that we can enjoy what He has prepared for us later. And He does give us a good life along the way. I don't want to suggest anything else. But He says, though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. When you look at the numbers on the board, you'll notice that we're on any given Sunday this year about 10 to 15 below where we were this time last year. And then you start thinking about all the health difficulties people have had. You think of all the heart problems people have had. You think about the struggles with cancer that we've had within this congregation. You think of the strokes that we've had. You think of the serious breaks that we've had. You think of all the things that people have gone through. And you realize that there are some difficult times along the way to heaven. And yet this says they're light in momentary troubles. Do you believe that? Because if you do, it changes your perspective. When I was a kid and we were going home, which for us was Lubbock, there was nothing more exciting than for Mom or Dad, after we'd ask for about the 7,000th time, "Are we nearly there?" to say, "We're nearly there. Hang on." And there were a lot of things when you're 7 years old you need to be hanging on for. But at that time, all the tiredness and all the wrangling that you go through on a trip and all the things that just seem unbearable when you're small are light and more momentary because you're about to get to your goal. You get to see your grandparents. In my case, you got to see the toys that grandparents had, which is very important for me. But it was something to look forward to. As you grow older, are you looking more forward to heaven? Or are you just getting tired? Because if you're just getting tired, then perhaps you need to take the encouragement of the Scriptures. If you're young and you're going through things and it just seems unendurable, perhaps you need to take the encouragement of the Scriptures. These things are light and momentary. They're just for a season and they're gone. But we have eternity waiting for us. And so over and over in Scripture, we are encouraged to not lose heart. because if we're faithful, there's a crown of righteousness. In verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 4, he says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And I broke my arm when I was a little boy. I was about, I can't remember if I was 4 or 5 years old, fell off of a tricycle, which is a crummy thing. You're standing around telling people about the bones you've broken. They broke theirs in football or in an auto wreck or fending off terrorists or something like that. I broke mine falling off of a tricycle, and I broke it in two spots. As a matter of fact, my wrist was just flapping. It was so bad. But at least I was standing on a tricycle. I was trying to achieve some kind of glory at the time. But I can tell you that for me to have my arm put in a cast was one of the worst things that could ever happen. I was only 4 or 5, but I can remember to this day how badly it itched and how bad I wanted to be out playing with the other boys and girls in the neighborhood. So maybe I could break the other arm, I'm sure my mom was thinking. But I just couldn't stand it. And it seemed like I had been in that cast forever, and it seemed like I would be in that cast forever. But looking back on it, I can see it was just a few weeks or a few months. I don't think about it anymore, other than just reflecting on it. But how often do we look at our lot in life and get discouraged and lose heart? God wants us to know that He has something really, really wonderful waiting for us. That's the encouragement that we take from the Scriptures. Some of your life will be very good. Some of your life will be very challenging. But we're going to heaven. If we can keep our eye on that goal, we won't lose heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." Now, Paul and those who were associated with him and the church there in Corinth had their ministry. Let me ask you what ministry you have. And if you can't answer that question just immediately, then let me ask you this. What are you going to do about it? Because your ministry, if you're a parent, is to make sure your kids are okay. Your ministry, if you're a child, is to do the best you can with your friends and to be a good example and to serve God and to obey your parents as best you can. If you're older, your ministry is to influence those around you. But there's other ministries that you'll take part in. Maybe you have some grand ministry that you're associated with. But we need a ministry. We need something that is a purpose for our life that's beyond just the physical. I love physical things. I love big projects, and I like doing things. I guess it's twisted, but I really like work. And I guess maybe it's not, because I imagine most of y'all really like work as well. Work is satisfying when you can find satisfying work. But what is your ministry? What spiritual things are you doing? One of your ministries is to study the Word of God so that you know how you can answer people. Because you and I have people that we influence, and those people are probably the most important or one of the most important ministries we have. But I'm convinced that that's one of the things that we need is an idea, a heart towards ministry, a heart towards something grand that we can do for God. It doesn't have to be something grand on the level in as far as it's grand in other people's eyes. It just has to be important in your eyes and God's eyes. But we need a ministry. And Paul talks about his, since we, through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we don't lose heart. When you have a purpose in your service to God, you don't lose heart. You get down from time to time, but you don't lose heart because you've still got this to do. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, Paul starts talking to, or the writer, I'm not sure if it's Paul or who wrote Hebrews, they're not identified, but it says this. Hebrews 12, verse 5, "You've not forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons." Appreciated very much Brad's prayer this evening and talking about the privilege that we have to enter into prayer with God. We're children of God. When you lose a parent, you think, I believe, about the privilege you had to talk to them that's now gone. When you lose a friend or a spouse, you think about the privilege you had that you kind of thought of at the time, but you really didn't appreciate until it was gone. We have a great privilege because we are sons and daughters of the Most High. You've forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. You ever been punished or rebuked by God? I hope you have. He punishes and rebukes those he loves. There have been times I've needed punishment and rebuke. Have you? Have you taken it as an encouragement? Or have you made light of it? Or have you railed against it? Very disappointed in your lot in life. Part of our lot in life is to make sure that we are not losing heart because of the things that God is doing for us that are for our benefit. In verse 7, he says this, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for that. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. I wasn't going to wrap up in the next minute. We'd talk about holiness for about 20 minutes and how we can share in it. But he says this, he concludes this thought, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We're looking forward to the harvest. This is one of the things we need to be encouraged by. We can be encouraged by the wonderful things that God gives us in this life, and we can be encouraged that he helps us get through the hard times in life. We can be encouraged by the fact that sometimes he has to get our attention and uses things that we don't like to get our attention with. And we can most of all be encouraged by the fact that we're going to be with him forever if we don't give up. So that's the thought I want to leave you with this evening, is will you continue on through God's encouragement and be with him forever, or will you give up? You get to choose. Invitation's open. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel's call, won't you come forward while we stand and sing?